All right, Jabo, say good morning. Let's begin. Beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Lamed Beis. We're picking up from the beginning of the new parak on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis on the bottom by the Mishnah. Brand new parak today. Baruch Hashem, brand new week, brand new parak, brand new opportunities. Who knows? Who knows how the journey is going to go? Emir Tzachem, Yashkar to Rabbi Yehuda for giving the shiur yesterday. Thank you to our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Cheshvan, Adam and Yudit Ben Zev, for dedicating all of the shiurim and drashos of this month. Le'ilui Nishmas, Adam's grandfather, Moshe David Ben Shalom, in honor of his grandmother, Helen Nachman, his parents, Eli and Judy Ben Zev, for serving as incredible role models. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant them Arichos Yomim Nishanim. I will say, with that, let us begin. Says the Mishnah, bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Benos Kusim Nidos Me'arisasam. I will say, so the daughters of Kusim are considered to be nidos from the cradle. So remember again, we've spoken about the Kusim many, many, many times throughout our journeys in Shas. So remember again, the Kusim were brought ultimately again to Eretz Yisrael by Shalmaneser. Remember again, already back to Sancheiriv, the strategy was conquer lands, uproot indigenous nations, and transplant other nations to the conquered lands. This way Sancheiriv felt, already with Shalmaneser continued, that when people are not on their home turf, when they're not on familiar soil, they are less likely to revolt. So one of the nations that was resettled in Eretz Yisrael were the Kusim from the land of Kusa. Good. So the Kusim came. Kusim were an idolatrous nation. They're worshipping idolatries. There's an outbreak of lions in Eretz Yisrael where they're living towards the north, in the north in the Shomron of Eretz Yisrael. So, again, no lions normally in those areas. They take it as a sign of the displeasure of God. They convert. The problem is they were subsequently found to still be worshipping idolatry. So, as such, the status of the Kusim is always in question. So in general, the Kusim, in terms of their religious practices, generally they believed in Torah Shebichsav, not in Torah Shebaal Peh. That's number one. But there's an interesting concept by the Kusim, which is any mitzvah that they keep, right, generally is assumed that what? They keep it better than the Jewish people. In other words, whatever they do, there's a Musar in this, right? No one could do everything. Whatever they do, they mamish are mitzuyanim. They're excellent. So because of this, the Kusim, their status is always in doubt. So how to figure out who they are, what they are, is always subject to this. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says over here, that the daughters of Kusim, the great Kusim females, are given a snida status already from infancy, already from the cradle, which we'll say we're going to see, technically speaking, even means, you know, from birth. So we'll discuss exactly what that means. V'akusim etamim mishkav toach tachton kelyom. We'll say furthermore again, Kusim themselves, sounds like you're talking about all Kusim, convey tumas mishkav, right? Mishkav means the tumah. We'll say this seems to be generally a type of tumah that a zav has, right? That when you sit on something or you support your weight against something, it goes ahead and conveys the tumah to everything underneath you. So literally translated, it means vakusim etam mishkav tachton ke'elyon. They go ahead and they convey tumah to that which is below them, the way they convey tumah to that which is above them. So we'll discuss, actually, that's going to be tomorrow's daf, what the meaning of that statement is. Why? Why do the Kusim have this type of tuma? Nipneshin boale nidos. Because we'll say ultimately again, because Kusi men are always considered to be in a state of having contracted tumas nida. Remember again, if a man goes ahead and has relations with a woman who's a nida, so some form of that tuma is imparted to him. We'll discuss exactly the halachos of that. So we'll say, all of these halachos are connected to each other. So because benos kusim are always considered ultimately again to be in a state of nida, and therefore again kusi men have relations with kusi women, therefore again kusi men have a status of tumah because they've had relations with nidos. Now why is it that kusi women are always considered to be in a state of nida? Listen to this. V'hein yoshvos al kol dam v'dam. So we'll say this is an incredible insight. An incredible insight over here is that apparently Kusi women were exceptionally stringent with the halachos of Nida. So stringent that they would observe the halachos of Nida for any type of discharge. So we'll say, but here's the interesting part. This is a chumrah that yields to an incredible kula. How so? Take a look at Rashi. Then Yoshos akol dam v'dam kilomar lahachi avi baalei nidos. The men, the kusi men, are considered to be baalei nidos. Why is that? Mishum de kol dam shiros ben adam ben yorok. So what's it? Because the kusi women, whatever discharge they had, red, yellow, whatever it was, Yoshvos alav yemei nidos. So what's it? You say to yourself, wow, like what a chumrah, what a chumrah. So here's the problem. V'zu takalihi lahem. But let's say, in fact, this leads to an incredible stumbling block. How so? Shimro adam yoro kayom mit l'tchilas limnos shisha. So we'll say, here's the issue. Let's say a kusi woman has a yellow discharge. So remember, again, a yellow discharge in halacha is not nida, but she's observing and she's machmir, she makes it into nida. So we'll say, what's the biblical halacha with nida? Right? 7 days. So it says six, meaning it's not counting the day of the discharge. So let's say she goes in and she sees a yellow discharge on Sunday. So obviously Sunday, she's going to observe the subsequent 6 days. Here's the problem. Listen to this. So here the Kusi women think they're being very machmir. They're observing Hilchos Nida for every single discharge. So what happens, so for argument's sake, she has a yellow discharge on Sunday, right? So what happens, she begins to observe 7 days. Remember again, not Shivanakiyim, because Shivanakiyim is not a din by Nida. It's a din by our contemporary Nida. But Allah Chalamayisa, not a din by biblical Nida. Shivanakiyim is a din by Zava. We'll get into how everything comes together. So we'll say, so the Kusi woman has a yellow discharge on Sunday. So she says, okay, I have to observe Hilchos Nida. She begins to observe 7 days. What's the problem? What's the problem? On Tuesday, she has a red discharge. So on Tuesday, technically speaking, she had a discharge of Nida, which means what has to happen? She has to really begin counting again from Tuesday. The problem is she's not counting it on Tuesday, because remember again, the way biblical Nida works is as follows. You're a woman becomes a Nida. She goes and has a discharge of menstrual blood. She has 7 days. She could bleed as much as she wants during those 7 days. Those 7 days do not have to be clean. They don't have to be free of blood. So therefore, again, in the Kusis's mind, on Tuesday she has a red discharge. That red discharge is just part of the 7 days. No problem. So when does she end up going to the mikvah? She ends up going to the mikvah 7 days from the time of the yellow discharge. What's the problem? What's the problem? She's still in Nida. So we'll say, so therefore it turns out that after she goes to the mikvah, she's with her husband is Boal in Nida. So first of all, just in general, we'll say, is an incredible insight into how you have to be careful with chumras. Because sometimes taking on chumras and observing chumras without understanding what it is that you're doing can actually sometimes lead to incredible kulas, which is a great irony. See, here the Benos Kusim are machmir. They're machmir on being a nida on every single discharge. Yet that's what we call a chumra hameviya lidei kula. So therefore, again, because of that, so Kusi men almost themselves have a status of being bol nida. Ve'in chayoven alein va'albias mikdash. Ve'in chayoven alein albias mikdash. So we'll say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here as follows. What does it mean? In chayoven aleha, bless you. Halovish omiskase ba'osa begadim. So we'll say, so let's say again, you have now clothing that came in contact with a kusis woman. So ultimately, you're going to remember, anida can convey tumah to articles of clothing as well. If halacha lemaisa, one were to wear that article of clothing and enter into the Beis HaMikdash, so the Mishnah says, "Ein chayav en ala." You would not be chayiv for bias mikdash bituma. Rashi says over here, "Ein chayav en ala." Halovish o miskase ba'osa megadim, the nichnas lemikdash pater mikarban or nag osan begadim. Shall mishka b'tshuma chulin shlo yadinan inidahi ilo. So we'll say so again. Therefore, Allah ma'ein v'ein tshuma. And ultimately, again, so if you were to wear an article of clothing that came in contact with the kusis, or for that matter, again, the article of clothing were to come in contact with tshuma, you would not be chayiv for bias mikdash. We would not burn tshuma. Why? Mipnei tum asan safik. Because let's remember again, we're talking about safik tuma. Not tumas vadai, but rather safek tuma. So remember again, what the Mishnah has done is conferred a status of tuma upon all kusi women. Apparently, again, even from infancy, conferred a status of tuma upon all kusi men, because we assume that they are boale nidos. But at the end of the day, we will not take definitive action based on this tuma. Why? Because at the end of the day, it is tumas safek. Good. Both say let's ask. So today we're pretty much going to spend the whole morning, the whole shir on the first part of the Mishnah of Tumas Kusis, Tumas or Benos Kusim Nidos Me'arisasan. So it says the Gemara, Hechi Dami. So we'll say, what is this case of the Kusis who ultimately goes ahead and becomes, who is considered to be a Nida from the cradle? So the Gemara says, Idika Chazion. So if we literally see that she's bleeding, or if you have the baby, right, Mamish, if the baby is bleeding, Afilu Didan Nami. Then I will say, if you're choshish for Nida in an infant, because there's blood emerging from the baby, Me'osamakum, then why is that just a din in Kusis? That should be a din in a Jewish baby as well. Ve'idaloka chazion, and if you're not seeing any blood, or if the baby is not emitting any blood, then dido namulo, then ultimately again, then why should the benos kusim be subject to a safek nida status? Here we go. Amar Rav, Abrei Rav Acha, Barav Huna, Amar Rav Sheisha. So, what's the case? Bistama. We'll say, in reality over here, the kusi baby in question has not bled. Has not bled. So what are we assuming? We assume a stam benos kusim, a stam kusi girl is a nida. What's the pshat with that? Dechevan de'ika mi'uta dechazion chayshinon. Because we're supposed to listen to this. Although it is not the norm, because there is a miut who sees blood, girls, right, young girls who see blood, and we'll see apparently even from infancy, since there is a miut, we're choshesh for the miut. So apparently what the Gemara is saying over here is like this, that since there is a miut of infants that ultimately, again, see blood, we're choshesh for the miut. But we're not choshesh for the miut by Jewish children, only choshesh for the miut where? By Benos Kusim. Why that is, we'll see in just a moment. Uman Tana Dechayesh Lemiuta. We'll say, who is the Tana who is choshesh for me? So we'll say, in other words, in general, we assume that we're not choshesh for the miut, right? So we'll say, remember again, why aren't you choshesh for the miut? Why not? Because you have Rov. Because that's what Rov says, right? Rov says that if the majority is a certain way, then the miut almost ceases to exist. But yet there is an opinion who holds that Chochoshis, who is that opinion about? So Rabbi Meir, top of long days. It's Rabbi Meir. Tishanya. We'll say, isn't it an incredible feeling, by the way, as we continue, you know, as we wind down our journey through Shas, you see concepts like this with Rabbi Meir, Chayshina Lemiut. We've seen it so many times throughout Shas. And even if you don't recall it, but when you see it on the daf, you begin to go ahead and remember. To say, this is the godless. This is the godless of Daf Yomi. I might not remember what happened yesterday, right? But at the end, probably yesterday you do remember, right? Yesterday was a pretty memorable daf. I'll say, but again, but how incredible it is that the esodistic ideas, when you see them, they you begin to remember them. So Rabbi Meir, Desanya, here we go. Katanu Ktano, lo choltsin v'yomi yam deremer. So I'll say, Rabbi Meir says, Katanu Ktano. So I'll say, here's the case. A man dies without children, right? He leaves behind a widow and a brother. His widow is a ketana, and his brother, the surviving brother, is a katan. So what's that halacha? Katan u ketana lo choltsin lo miyabim. Katan and ketana can't do chalitza and can't do yibim. Div Rabbi Meir. So amru lo Rabbi Meir. They said to Rabbi Meir, Yafa amarta shein choltsin. Rabbi Meir, I agree with you that they can't do chalitza. Why? Because when it comes to chalitza, ish kasuv baparsha, umakshinan ishalish. So I'll say the Torah by chalitza says, ve'im lo yachbots ha'ish lakachas ef sivimto. Describes chalitza. So by chalitza, the Torah goes out of the way to say ish. Ish is an adult. And ultimately, again, we compare the man and the woman in chalitza, just like the man has to be an ish, a gadol, so too, ultimately, again, the wife has to be an isha. Fine. Umatam im miyabmin. But I will say, what's the problem, ultimately, again, with yibum? Let them do yibum. I will say, again, there's no reason why they can't do yibum, because we must remember, again, the threshold for yibum, we know this, is much less than for, or at least we assume it should be much less than chalitza. Why? Because let's remember again, what's yibum? What's yibum? Yibum is a continuation of the original marriage that already took place. That's why all that's necessary is an act of bia. There's no need for additional kiddushin or anything like that. It's a perpetuation of the pre-existing relationship. So chalitza, which is a brand new dynamic halachic entity, you need an ish. But by yibum, you shouldn't need an ish. So matam im miyabmin. So Rabbi Meir, why can't the katan and katana do yibum? Armalahan, to which Rabbi Meir says, katan shema yimatze siris. Kitana shemati matse islandis, right? Vinimtsu pogin be'erva shalo b'makom mitzvah. Rabbi Meir says, what are we concerned about? We're concerned that halacha lemaisa, the boy right? When he grows up, he may turn out to be a Sris, which means incapable of having children. The girl may be an islandess, incapable of having children. And I both say the Yibum union is only permitted when? When it can yield children. If Halacha Lamaisa said the union does not have the capacity to yield children, that's an erva. That's an erva. Nimtu Pogi Bar Shalom Akumitsa, Sefer Abba said, this is Rabbi Meir. Rabbanan, Zil Basaruba. The Rabbanan say, okay, I meaning they can't say to Rabbi Meir, impossible. It's a concern, but it's not a legitimate concern. Right? The Rabbanan say we have to go after the Rov. Right? Zil Basaruba. Zil Basaruba Diktana, Virov Kitanam Lav Srisin Ninhu, Zil Basaruba Diktanas, Virov Kitanas Lav Adlinis Ninhu. So we'll say, so ultimately again, the Rabbanan say you have to go after the Rov. Go after the rove. Therefore, the rove of boys do not become a Swiss. The rove of girls do not become an islandess. So Rabbi say, to this, so we assume over here that halacha lemaisa, Rabbi Meir's din is not just a din ultimately where? By Yibum. It's a din in general that Rabbi Meir is choshesh limi'uta. So therefore, again, plugging this back, we would assume that our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir says that what? There is a miut of girls who go ahead and bleed even from infancy. There's a miut. So Rabbi Meir will say, we're going to apply that miut where? To benos kusim. And that miut is going to generate a new halachic reality that benos kusim are considered to be what? Nidos me'arisasa. Now, why don't we apply that miut to Jewish girls? We'll see in just a little bit. But it's Rabbi Meir. Shiras Rabbi Meir. Rabbanan would say no. Again, even though there's a miut, at the end of the day, it'll be zil basa rov. And the rov of babies do not bleed. So it says the Gemara, 1 second. Ema de Shamba say the Rabbi Meir miuta de shchiach. Let's say, so the Gemara says like this, even Rabbi Meir, who's choshesh for the miut, let's say, it's not just any miut, it has to be what's called a miut de shchiach, or otherwise stated, a miut hamatsui. So let's say, we've seen this actually back in our chulin days. There are different types of miut in halacha. There is a miut hamatsui, which means a miut, and Harazim will say it is an infrequent possibility, right? It's the, not, what's the better word for miut? What is this in Harazim called? I'm getting all these blank stares. Right, what's the word that's used for miut? Minority. Okay, minority. Right, so we'll say there is a minority occurrence that is frequent, or I should say there's a minority occurrence that is infrequent, and a minority occurrence that is infrequent, but more frequent. I'll have to think about the formulations in just a bit. I was about to say, you understand this intuitively. In other words, you could have something
rare.
Good. So maybe we'll use the lashonos of infrequent versus rare. So there's a miut that's infrequent, and there's a miut that's rare. So the Gemara will say, so we're assuming over here that Rabbi Meir holds that you're choshesh the miut, whatever the miut is. To which the Gemara says, no, maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Meir is only choshesh for a miut that's infrequent, but not a miut that's rare, right? Something that is something that is so uncommon, so rare. Even Rabbi Meir would not be choshesh. Say Imar Dishama say Rabbi Meir miuta de shchiach. So I say Rabbi Meir holds, he's only choshesh for a miut that's infrequent, but still occurs. Ava miuta de lo shchiach, but a miut that's rare. Mishamislay would Rabbi Meir actually hold this? So both say. So now what we're saying over here is like this: this notion that a baby is going to bleed me also makom, and I'll say is so rare that would be ultimately a miut she'ino matsui or a miut she'ino shchiach. Maybe even Rabbi Meir would agree that for that you're not choshesh. In which case we're then back to square one, trying to figure out who does the Mishnah reflect. To which Gemara says, no, that's not. First of all, Gemara is going to challenge that assertion. Hai nami miuta de shchiachu. So we'll say. So the Gemara suggests over here that the notion of a baby bleeding me'osam makom is a miut d'shchiach. It's a miut d'shchiach, which means Rabbi say it is infrequent. It is infrequent, but not rare. It happens. It happens. So Rabbi says, listen to this. D'sanya, we learn in the Braisa. I'm Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi says, so it's very interesting how the Gemara makes this a miut d'shchiach. Ma'ase be'ein bul. There was a story in Ein Bul where what happened? Ein Bul is a place. Vit bilua kodem li'ima. So let's listen to this. There was a mice in Ein Bul where they went ahead and they immersed the baby, right, in the mikvah before the mother. The Rebbe said, now what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Kodim li'ima, yoledes nekeva tovelas liyudalit, ubita rasa liyom oliyomayim shenolda, vit bilua kodim li'ima mishum maga truma. So let's listen to this wild case. There was a story in Ein Bul where a mother gave birth to a baby girl. What happened? The girl, the baby, either at a day or two, bled. So what happened? So it says, you know, the halach is that a woman, after she gives birth to a girl, the earliest she can get to the mikveh is how long? 14 days after her birth. So it says, so the Mishnah, so the Gemara says, they're quoting a brisa, that they took the baby to the mikveh before the mother. Because remember, the baby goes after 7 days. They got the baby to the mikveh before the mother. So we'll say, why is the Gemara quoting this? What does this do for us? It shows us that what? It happened. What I was saying, that was interesting, is as follows. Okay, Shkoyach, right? You brought me one story. We're going to see, it's more than those. I'll tell you what's also interesting about this. I don't know the technical term, but like, you know where this comes up? This comes up sometimes, again, in gerus. If you have to do a gerus of a katan. So it's interesting. Michael's not here right now. I'll have to ask him about this. So as I said, I don't know the name of the reflex, but you know, there's a reflex we have that when we go into water, we close our eyes and close our mouth. That reflex in a baby doesn't actually set in until some amount of time after birth, which is why when we do conversions for ketanim, we actually wait. We wait a little bit. You don't do, I mean, let's say a couple adopts a newborn baby or a couple converts with a newborn baby. We generally don't do the gerus immediately. You have to wait a little bit. So it's actually fascinating here that they're doing the immersion mamish right after the birth of the baby. Okay. In any event, side point. Rabbi said, there was another episode. And I will say, now I just want to point out, why are they immersing the baby in this case? Why are they immersing the baby over here in Beis Bul? Because I said, the concern is that if the baby becomes a nida and the baby comes in contact with truma, so ultimately, again, the baby will make the truma tameya. So therefore, again, in order to ensure that, it's just important to keep in mind that this is about truma over here. Another story. Rebbe said there was another episode in Beisharim. Vit bilua called him, same case of Bosai. Woman gave birth to a girl. Woman gave birth to a girl. Ultimately, again, the baby became a nida, and we immersed the baby before the mother. So we'll say two episodes where this happened. And again, also because of truma. We're not finished. Rabbi Yosef, Maise bepumpadisa. There was another story, lest you think that this is an Eretz Yisrael Dika thing. Right? So ultimately, again, Pompadisan happened as well. Vit bilua kodem li'ima. Ultimately, again, and they immersed the baby even before the mother was able to get to the mikvah. So we'll say, so the point over here of this price is what? Three episodes. So the point that you're seeing over here is that this is a miyut de shchiach. Again, I will say, to be clear, it is still a miyut, right? It is still, again, it is still an infrequent occurrence, right? It's a minority occurrence, but lemaisa, it may be infrequent, but it is not rare. It occurs. Therefore, again, Abosa, you could say that even according to, you say, so Abosa, just to follow this, even if you want to say that Rabbi Meir, who's choshesh lemiuta, is only choshesh for what type of miut? What type of miut? A miut de shchiach or a miut de matsui? Will agree that this type of case of the infant becoming an ida still passes the threshold of a miut to shchiach or a miut to matzoi. Have us have a Disney have. It's always this beautiful about Gemara, right? You bring up a case for one purpose, and then something the Gemara says, I don't understand what's happening in this case. As well say, why are we immersing this baby? Right? Why are we immersing this baby? The baby became a quote unquote anida. Why? So who cares? Why are we missing the baby? Why? Chuma. Someone says, 1 second. Bishlam Rabbi Yosi Udrei Mishum Chumas Eretz Yisrael. Both say the first two cases of Ein Bul and Beis Sha'arim are Eretz Yisrael. So I understand that Eretz Yisrael, you have Truma Daraisa. So now I understand ultimately again why you're immersing that baby. Elad Rav Yosef Lamali. But Rav Yosef's case is where? Where? Pompadisa. Pompadisa's Bavel. What's going on with Truma and Bavel? To which the immersive of Hamr Shmuel, Ein Trumas Chutz La'aretz Asura. I'm sorry. So Gemara says, right, why don't you Rabbi Yossi's case? So the Gemara says, Vahamer Shmuel says, Ein Trumas Chutzal Aretz Asura Ela Bamisha Tuma Yotze Migufo. Shmuel said, Rabbi said, when it comes to Trumas Eretz Yisrael, I'm sorry, when it comes to Trumas Chutzal Aretz, right, Trumas Chutzal Aretz is only what? Is only problematic. Ela Bamisha Tuma Yotze Migufo. Only Rabbi Yossi, if you have the type of Tuma, where the tuma, so let's remember again, there's two different ways to become tame. You could become tame through contact with something external to you, or you could become tame through some type of internal process. So nida, Zava, Balkari. So the so comes on Shmuel. Shmuel says the only problem with contact with Shumas Chutz La'aretz is only if someone becomes Tamei from a Tumah Hayotzei Migufo Vahani Mili Ba'achila. And even then, Rabbi say the problem is only with what? With consumption. Aval B'negia Lo. But at the end of the day, not with Negia. So we'll say, let's analyze this in just a moment. So understand what Shmuel just said. Right? When it comes to Chumas Chutz La'aretz, right? Chumas Chutz La'aretz. Again, we know that there were times, because of proximity to Eretz Yisrael, ultimately against surrounding lands, did separate out Chumas and Maestros. Those Chumas and Maestros, Shmuel says, only become Tamei through contact with someone who themselves is Tamei, only if it's the type of Tumah that emanates from the body, which would seem to cover our case over here. But the problem is only got legabe what? Achila. Consumption. So we'll say, so let's analyze this. In Pumpadisa, you have this infant girl who, quote unquote, became Tamei, Tumas Nida. The only impact she could possibly have on Shumas Chutz La'aretz is what? Is if she eats it. And she's not eating anything at 1, 2, 3, 4, what, however many days old, right? The only thing she could possibly, the only way she could possibly impact the truma is how? So, through negia, through contact, and contact does not seem to pose any kind of problem. To which the Gemara says, Amar Mar Zutra, lo nitzcha ela l'socha shemen shel truma. What was the case over here, Rabbi? The case over here is they wanted to smear the baby with oil of truma. And in order for the baby to be smeared with oil of truma, she had to be tahora. So says the Gemara Navose. So now what we're saying over here is something very interesting. That apparently anointing the baby, right, has a status almost of like achila. To which Gemara says, where do we know that from? Look at Rashi. The socha shemen shal truma, the sicha ke achila. Because ultimately, again, anointing is like consumption. Uba'achila kaminon, the chumas chutz la'aretz. I was really need this. We'll say, so follow the progression over here. What we're saying is like this. In reality, when it comes to chumas chutz la'aretz, the only problem, the only type of tummy person, ultimately has a problem with that chumas who? Tuma hayotze mi gufo, or gufa, right? But aloch lamaisa, another type of tumma is not going to be problematic. Okay. But even so, the problem is only legabe what? Legabe achila. So what's the issue over here with the infant? The infant's not eating any of the chumah because they want to anoint the infant with oil. And apparently, sicha ke achila. Anointing is like consumption. Where do we know that from? Desanya. Here we go. V'lo yichalalu ashim kodshi. So what's the pasuk where the Gemara quotes? V'lo yichalalu as shem kodsh. V'lo yichalalu, sorry. V'lo yichalalu as kodshi b'nei Yisrael. Asher yarimu la'ashem. You shall not go ahead and defile any of the kodesh. Rashi says over here, v'lo yichalalu b'parshas as haras temeim b'tshuma k'siv. So what's we'll say, so the context of the pasuk over here is tummy people coming in contact with truma. So watch this. Asher yarimu la'ashem. The rabbos as hasach v'es hashoseh. It comes to include, this comes to include one who anoints themselves with truma oil in a state of tuma, and one who drinks truma in a state of tuma as well. So the Gemara says, Shosa, lam likra, we'll say, why would I need an extra pasuk by drinking? Shtia, bichlal achila. We'll say, under normal circumstances, shtia, ultimately, again, is the same context as achila. Eva l'rabos es hasach kishosa. So the pasuk is coming to teach me that one who goes ahead and anoints themselves with oil, that's the equivalent of what? Of drinking. And drinking is the equivalent of eating. So from here, Siyabo said that ultimately, again, whatever halacha is applied to truma consumption will apply to anointing with truma oil as well. V'baisema. The other possibility is, V'baisema mehacha, v'tavo kamayim v'kirbo, ukishemen ba'atzmosav. So we'll say we're quoting the pasuk from Tehillim. The Rosh is actually talking about this is vayilbash klalam madadonos, talking about the punishment of the rishayim. That ultimately, again, it will come in his, it will come like water in his insides, ukishem ba'atzmosav, and like oil on his bones. But for our purposes, what we're doing over in this pasuk is equating the anointing of oil with the drinking of water. So you see from here that what? That anointing with oil is the equivalent of consumption. So we'll say, so now what do you see? So let's analyze over here what we just have. So we just have over here, so just we're going to work backwards. So now what we see is that halacha lemaisa, they would go ahead and be tovel, right, a baby who became anida, both in Eretz Yisrael as well as in Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, because of Truma. And they both say in Eretz Yisrael, understand why because of Truma. What's the issue of Truma in Eretz Yisrael? Even what? even maga, right? Even touching. So that I understand that we have to be matar the baby. What about, why do you need to be matar the baby ultimately again for trumas chutz la'aretz? Because we'll say there, the issue is, because I, trumas chutz la'aretz is only problematic if what? If you eat it in a state of tumah, and even now it's only a tumah yotze migufa, because in chutz la'aretz, but they said they'd want to anoint the baby with truma oil. And what do we just successfully prove? That what? That sicha is kishtia, and shtia is ke'achila. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, even in Pompadisa, they would have to immerse the baby who became anida in order to anoint her ultimately again with truma oil. So we'll say, to which the Gemara says, let's link it back. So therefore, again, what do you see? Even though it is a miut of babies who become anida, it's what kind of miut? What kind of miut? A miut de shriach. Right, or a miut hamatsui. And therefore again, who's choshesh for a miut hamatsui? Rabbi Meir. And therefore whose opinion is reflected in Mishnah? Rabbi Meir. To which Gemara says, great argument. But it's so compelling that what? Ihachi didan nami. So again, I will say, based on everything you said, I don't understand why this chashash is only applied to who? To benos kusim. This should be applied to Jewish girls, to Jewish babies as well. Look at Rashi. Ihachi, dechashina lemi'uta. Right? If you've successfully proven that what? That halacha lemaisa. That we're choshesh from miut, right? And it's a miut to shchiach or a miut hamatsui. Therefore, says the Gemara, Rashi, didanami, litamu kulamer asasan. This is a sign of a very compelling argument. Your argument is so compelling that halacha lemaisa should apply to Jewish girls as well. To which the Gemara says, here's the difference. Anon didarshinan isha v'isha, v'chichazyan mafreshilahu, logazu b'hu rabbanas. Well, so let's analyze this. Right, so ultimately again, so we darshin isha v'isha. We're going to see what that drasha is in just a moment. So we darshin isha isha, and therefore v'chichazion, when a girl actually sees what mafreshilahu, we go ahead and we separate her. We make sure that she does not come in contact with kadshim. So lo gazru b'rabbanon. The rabbanon were not gozer. So we'll say what this sounds like the Gemara is saying, although we're going to clarify the drasha in just a moment. We recognize the fact that a girl, even a baby, could become a nida. But because we are vigilant in the halachos of nida, what will we do with such a baby like that? We'll make sure that what? We separate them from coming in contact with any type of kadshim. However, inhu, the lo darshi isha v'isha, the kusim who don't darshin isha v'isha, we don't know what that drasha is yet. We'll see in just a moment. V'chichazyan lo mafeshilhu. And therefore, again, when a young girl does see blood, the kusim will not separate her. Gazru b'hu rabbanon. The rabbanon were gozer. So we'll say what this sounds like is happening over here is as follows. There's two parts to this argument. Number one, there's a drasha of isha isha. We'll see what that is in just a moment. And as a result of that drasha of isha isha, we're careful. If indeed we see a baby who becomes a nida, we will be careful to make sure that baby doesn't come in contact with kachim. Therefore, there is no need for gzeiros. We'll say, remember again, when do chazal make gzeiros? See, some people think rabbis just like to make gzeiros, right? But in fact, again, when do chazal make gzeiros? When they have to create a safeguard. They only do it when it's necessary to create a protective fence. If the people are vigilant on their own, there's no need for the gzera. So therefore, again, when it comes to Jews who will be vigilant on their own, there's no need for the gzera. For the kusim, ultimately, again, the gzera is necessary. I'm both saying, now the truth is, the gzera is not as much for the kusim, right? Because again, the kusim could care less about the gzera. The gzera is for who? The gzera is for us, right? The gzera is for us in terms of forging and forming our interaction with the kusim. Tosh the Gemara says, "My isha the isha." What's the drasha you're referencing over here? Here we go. The sanya. We'll say the pasuk says, "Isha, eimi ella isha." So we'll say when the pasuk says, "Isha, I only know isha." So we'll say, so what are we talking about over here? So if you take a look, so the Gemara says, "The sanya isha eimi ella isha." If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here. Isha kisiya zava. Benida mishtaikra dichsev shivasam tine benidasa. So we'll say when the pasuk speaks about anida, so the Torah uses the lashon of isha. Ainli ela isha. So I only know that in isha, right? So we'll say, remember, the pasuk by nida speaks about an isha. Isha we automatically assume means what? An adult, or some older, some certainly not a newborn, right? Eli ala isha tinokes pasiom echad the nida minai. And Rabbi say, from where do Rabbi say? This is a very important drasha because we're going to see we accept this halacha lemaisa. So tinokes pasiom echad the nida minai. How do I know that even a girl 1 day old can become a nida? Talmud lomar veisha. Rabbi say it's the riboy of the vav. Right, the vi'isha, that vav hariboy, that vav is bala hosif, right, comes to include something else. Who else does it come to include? So isha would just tell me ultimately again a woman. Vi'isha comes to include someone else. Who else does it come to include? Afilu, the Gemara says, vi'isha ama, so vi'isha ama ki mar bikra, bas yom echad marbi. Therefore, both say the vav, which is an extra vav, ultimately does what? Tells me that it includes even tinokes bas yom echad, ultimately again in the halachos of nida. So the Gemara says, or minhu, I'm going to raise a kasha, isha, ein li ela isha. So that's when the pasuk says, isha, I only know isha, tinokes bas gimel shanim v'yom echad lebia minayin. So also here's what's interesting. Salach lemaisa, the Gemara says as follows. So the pasuk when it talks about, if you look at Rashi, Libya, Rashi says, well, first of all, Ermini Isha, the Isha Isha Yishkav Ish Osa Shechvas Zera. So we'll say, so the Torah talks about over here that Halach Lamaisa, both a man and woman become Tame as a result of Bia. Then I both say, now Rashi points out something fascinating over here. Look at Rashi Libya, Shemitama Bebias Adam. So we know that a woman becomes Tameya as a result of Bia. Now, why is that? Migzeres HaKasuv. Then I both say, that Tumah is Migzeres HaKasuv. Because also you'd be tempted to say, why does she become Tameh? Or she becomes Tameya ultimately because of the Shechvazer, because of the semen. Right? Remember again, a man becomes Tameh as a result of becoming a Balkeri. So Bepashtos, the woman comes in contact with the Zera as well. Therefore, she's Tameya. That's not the reason. Look at Rashi. It's actually incredible. V'lomishum nogas b'shechva zerahu. It has nothing to do with contact with Shechva Zera. Why not? Sharei maga beis hastarimhu. They both say this is incredible because the woman comes in contact with the Shechva Zera where? Internally. Internal contact does not generate Tumah. So why is it that a woman becomes Tameh as a result ultimately again of Bia? It's Gzir Sakasav. Because the Pasuk says so. Because the Pasuk tells us ultimately again, The isha shar yishkav ish osa shechvas zera. So we'll say after an act of bia, woman becomes tumah. Again, a very low level of tumah. Right, very low level of tumah. Just tumah zera. If she goes to the mikvah, she's torah the next night. But lemais or that night. But lemais again, this tumah. So we'll say, so now watch this. The Torah tells me. So what does it say? Who's subject to what we'll call tumas bia? Who's subject to this? An isha. What's the definition of an isha? Ainli ela isha. Tinokes basket, Boshanavi Om Echa Labia Minayin. But say, how do I know that even a girl who's 3 years old in 1 day is at least in the eyes of the Gzer Sakas of Roy Labia? Talmud Lomar, Vi'isha. Because again, I both say the same Vav, I mean different Pasuk, but Vav. Vav comes to include an additional. What does it come to include? A girl who is 3 years old in 1 day. So we'll say, now you see we have a very big problem, right? What's our very big problem? You just told me before that Vi'isha comes to include what? Comes to include even a tinokes bas yom echad. Even a 1 day old girl in the halachos of nida. Now you're telling me that it comes to halachos of bia, vi'isha comes to include what? A girl who's 3 years old and 1 day. So we'll say, it's the same, it's two different psukim with the same drasha. So I'm going to say, what you're telling me is, whenever you see the vav in front of isha, it comes to include the most wide swath of woman. So we'll say, so which one is it? Does vi'isha mean a girl even 1 day old? Or does vi'isha only mean a girl 3 years old and 1 day? They will say, now granted, it's two different halachas. But lamaisa, the drasha is the same. I would assume that the drasha always yields the same result. To which the Gemara says, Amarava, Hilchasaninu v'as mechinan v'rabbanon. Akroi. What's that which Rava says? It's halacha l'Moshe Mi'Sinai. It's halacha l'Moshe Mi'Sinai, and Chazal went ahead and, it was, as we often see, Chazal take halacha l'Moshe Mi'Sinai, and they find a pasuk that kind of makes a remez to it. So it's not a real drasha, it's halacha l'Moshe Mi'Sinai. To which Rava say, so the Gemara assumes that what Rav is answering is one of them, right? One of these two drashas is in fact halacha l'Moshe Mi'Sinai, and the other one is what? is a drasha of Moses. So we'll say, see, here, just to tell you what I have two facts in front of me. What are the facts? Fact number one is, as of what age could a woman, could a girl become an Ida?
One day.
One day. The pasuk says, Isha. What are we darshing that from? The Isha. That's fact number one. Fact number two is, a woman goes ahead and becomes Tumea as a result of Bia. At what age does that Tumah become a reality? 3 years old and one day. From where do I know that from? The Isha. Rava says no. In fact, Halacha Lamaisa, it's a Halacha Lamoshe Misinai, and it's an Asmachta. The Pasuk is just a scriptural allusion. So we'll say, we're assuming right now that Rava means one of them is Halacha Lamoshe Misinai, one of them is a Pasuk. To which the Gemara says, Hekra Veheyachusa. Which one is the Pasuk, and which one is the, and which one is the Halacha Lamoshe Misinai? Ilim Abbas Yomechad Hilchusa. If you want to say that ultimately again, that a girl could become an Idat one day, that's the Halacha Lamoshe Misinai, and ultimately again, that a girl could contract Tumas Bia at 3 years old in one day, that's the Pasuk. Tell you why it doesn't work. Kra, stomach sieve. See, I will say, V'isha is a very generic drasha, and there's no reason to assume that ultimately again, it should refer to one over the other. Ela, bas kimo shana v'yom echad hilchasa, bas yom echad kra. Rather, I will say, what you have to say is, that halacha lemaisa, the notion that a girl could go ahead and become tamei as a result of bia at the age of 3 years old in one day, that's a halacha lemoshe misinai. That a girl could become a nida from one day, that's from the pasuk of v'isha, to which the Gemara says ume achar tehilchasa. So I don't understand. At the end of the day, now that you're going to tell me that a girl at 3 years old and one day, ultimately what, could go ahead and become Tamei Alt Tumas Bia, then what? Kra Lamali. Why do I need a Pasuk at all? Or why do you even need an Asmachta? Why do you even need a Pasuk? To which the Gemara says, because the Pasuk comes to teach me something else. Leme Ute Amud Beis. Leme Ute Ish Me'udam. To teach me what Rabbi said, this is fascinating. So apparently now the Pasuk of V'isha, the extra Vav, comes to teach me something actually different, which is that what? That a man who has a red emission, ultimately, again, will be Tahora. So I'll say, this is actually quite wild, because what we're learning now from this extra pasuk is something totally unrelated. We're going to discuss how you make this jump. But Lamaisa, again, that if a man has a red emission, then Halach Lamaisa, he does not become Tamei. Look at Rashi. Lemei Ute Ish Me'udam, Va'af Agav Dikra Lav Be'udam Ayri, Al-Korcha Kevin Dikra Yisei Rasu, L'drosha Asa, Umay Yishcha L'drosh, Davra karav leinyan darashba. Vahachi kamar isha tamei bedavra amar ba tainu odem ve'in ish tamei bedavra amar biisha. So we'll say the teaching that what? That although a woman could become tamei, ultimately again with a red emission, a man cannot. So if a man has some type of red emission, that does not make him tamei at all. Vahadisanya isha ainli isha ainli eli isha bas yod yamim lezayin. I'm sorry, ainli eli isha. So we'll say, interestingly enough, but there's another drasha, right? Rashi says, "V'hadasani isha le'inyan zava k'siv v'isha ki yazuv zov damas." So we'll say, watch this. So now a new drasha. What's the new drasha? We'll say that halacha lemaisa, the pasuk when it comes to zava uses lashon of isha. So again, we normally assume, what does isha refer to? An adult woman. How do I know? We'll say, this is incredible. How do I know? Bas yud yamim leziva. So we'll say, ultimately again, how do I know that halach lamaisa, a young girl could even become a zava at the age of 10 days? So we'll say, how do you get 10 days? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Bas yud yamim, debetzir mehachi leka ziva, zanyi yame nida, the gimel yame ziva, shein ziva ela achar nidus. So we'll say, this is wild. The youngest age that a girl could become a zava is 10 days old. Why 10? Because we also listen to this. The concept of ziva, so we're going to see all of these concepts in this parak. The concept of ziva, so a woman could only become a zava after she becomes a nida. So we'll say, so just on a very simple level, the way that zivas works is like this. It's a 7-11 schedule. In other words, for 7 days, she becomes a nida. After those seven days, there's an 11-day period. Any bleeding that occurs during those 11 days is considered to be zava. We'll see the construct. So we'll say, listen to this. If a girl is born, any blood that she has the first 7 days, we assume is what? is Nida. Therefore, I will say, really, the earliest time she can become a Zava Gidola is when? 10 days after her birth. The first 7 days would be Nida if she were to bleed. And then remember, to become a Zava Gidola, what do you need? 3 days, right? 3 consecutive days of bleeding. So therefore, again, the youngest age that a girl could become a Zava Gidola would be 10 days of age. So we'll say, see, here's what Gemara is saying. Pasuk says, by Zava, Isha. How do I know that even a girl at 10 days old could become a Zava? Talmud Lomar, V'isha, same drasha, V'isha, the Vav comes to be Mosif, an additional case of even 10 days old. I, Lamali, so says Gemara, but why don't I need the drasha? Ligma Minida. I will say, why don't I just say, the same way that a 1 day old girl could become a Nida, therefore what? A 10 day old girl, because we also remember again, a 10 day old girl by Zava is the equivalent to what? A 1 day old girl by Nida. So in other words, once you're telling me that a girl could become a Nida from birth, that's effectively the same thing as telling me that a girl could become a Zava as of 10 days old. So in other words, why don't you need a separate drasha? Just say the same way that a girl could become Nida at birth, so that she should become a Zava at 10 days. Tzricha, I'll tell you why you need them both. You cannot learn one out from the other. Here's why. Tikasev Rachmana Benida. Chizitra would have just taught me this halacha by Nida, that a girl could become a Nida from birth. Hava amina Nida mishum. Tikichazoi chad yoma. By the mace of Zion. So you're both saying Nida's different, right? Why is Nida different? Because you're both saying one discharge triggers 7 days, right? You don't need any sustained occurrences. One discharge, 7 days. Aval Zava, di chazoi chad yoma, bishomeres yom kineged yom sagila, emolo. You both say Zava's different, right? Because by Zava, remember again, what happens if she has one emission? One emission only triggers what? 1 day. Remember, if a woman has one Zava emission, she goes to the mikveh that day, and that night, or I should say the next day, excuse me, not that day, but she has, right, she has the Riyah, then the next day she observes Betara, goes to the mikveh, and the following night she's fine. So because Zava is so dramatically different from Nida, I couldn't have learned them out from the other. I have a lichtov rachmana b'zava, v'lo b'ay b'nida, v'ani yedana de'in Zava b'lo Nida. So we'll say, so again, so do the reverse. Let the Torah tell me that what? That the concept of Zava applies to who? To a 10-day-old girl. And if you tell me that, then what? Then what? I'll automatically know that Nida applies to a 1-day-old girl. Enochinami. To which the Gemara says, you're right. That could have actually been a drasha. Ve'alakra lamali. So we'll say, so I named the pasuk. Same thing as we said before. Leme'ute ish mi'udam. I will say, to teach us that what? To exclude the case of a man who has a red emission. That does not convey tuma. We already did that, right? We already excluded that man before from different drasha. Chad lemiute mishechva zara, v'chad lemiute midam. I will say one is to exclude him ultimately again from shechvas zara, and one ultimately again is to exclude him from dam. That I will say both. So if a man has a red emission, there's no tuma. We don't consider it to be red shechvas zara, and even if it's dam, an emission of dam from a man does not generate tumah. So just so you understand what we have up until this point is something very dramatic. What we have is that halacha lemaisa, right? A girl could become a nida as of when? As of when? As of 1 day old. And it sounds like she could become technically a zava as of when? As of 10 days old. Right? 10 days old. And I will say these both seem to be what? These both ultimately, again, seem to be, well, these are the drushes or halachas that we see. One other halacha, which is, when does a girl contract, so to speak, tumas bia? 3 years old and 1 day. So we'll say, see, here's our progression. 1 day old, she's subject to nida. 10 days old, she is subject to zava. 3 years old and 1 day, technically subject to tumas bia. Those are our halachas so far. Techin le'iyan zcharim. And the Gemara says the same halachos as we see by Nikebus also apply to Scharin. This Sanya, because we learned Ish Ish. We'll say the pasuk says Ish Ish. Now what's the pasuk over here? Dabro b'nei Yisrael v'amar t'lam Ish Ish ki ezav mibsaro zavot tamir. We'll say Zav. By Zav. Pasuk says Ish Ish. So ma tamalomer Ish Ish. L'rabos tinok ben yom echad shumetamei b'ziva d'Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll say ultimately what does Rabbi Yehuda say? That even a boy who's 1 day old has the ability to go ahead and become a Zav at the age of 1 day. The truth is, you only need this trash. I'll tell you why. So what's it? Because the pasuk says zachar ulin akiva. The pasuk over here is v'hadava b'ni dasa v'azov es zovo l'zachar ulin akiva l'zachar koshu zachar bein shu gadol bein shu katan ulin akiva koshi akiva bein bigidola. So what says, you see over here that ultimately again the Torah links the Zachar and Akiva to teach me again Zachar. So what say here, remember Zachar, by the way, is a much more generic term than Ish, right? Because Ish we normally assume means what? An adult. Zachar means what? A male. Now the truth is there are situations where we consider Zachar ultimately again to mean adult male as well, but it's generic enough to say any age. Zachar Koshu, right? Nekeva Koshu. Imkain matam lamer ish ish. Suppose if that's the case, why need the drasha of ish ish to tell me that ultimately, again, even a boy one day old could become a zav? You're right. Dibur Torah kol hashem bnei adam. Ultimately, again, I will say ish ish is not meant for a drasha. Rather, what does ish ish do? Ish ish is just the normal vernacular. That's just how the Torah speaks. Alma ki marbi kra ben yom echad marbi. Therefore, what do you see? And I will say, when the Torah comes to include someone, the Zachar, right? Zachar, right? The drasha was, the Zachar koshu, Zachar ben shu gadol ben shu katan, comes to include everyone, even a one-day-old boy that he could become a Zav. Or minhu. I'll ask a shayla, ish, eimi, ela ish. So I will say, ultimately again, so we're going to go, Rashi says over, ish, eimi, ela ish. The ish ki seitzen or shichvas zera. So what's the Torah is talking about over here? This passage the Gemara is quoting is talking over here about if a man becomes tamei as a result of a seminal emission. So the pasuk says ish, ainli ella ish. I only know that a man who has about an adult man who has a seminal emission that he becomes tamei alza balkeri. Ben teisha shanim v'yom echem inayin. How do I know that even a boy at the age of 9 years old in one day is capable of having a seminal emission? That would make him tamei. Talmud Lomar, vi'ish. Therefore, both say the pasuk says vi'ish. The vav comes to include 9 years old and one day. 1 second. You just told me that what? That zachar and vi'ish comes to include what? Afilu tinok ben yom echad. So what's happening over here? Amarava hilchasaninu va'asmechinu rabbanan akroi. It will say to which the Gemara says, It is a halacha l'moshe misinai, and ultimately again the Rabbanon went ahead and kind of found an asmachta. So we'll say what we have over here is as follows. Just understand what we just did. A boy can become a zav as of when? As of when? 1 day old. He can only become tamei atz alz tumas keri as of what age? 9 years old and 1 day. So we'll say, Gemara is assuming right now one of these halachos is based on a pasuk, and one of them is based on a halacha la Moshe Misinai. So which one is it? So the Gemara says, hey, chosa, vehekra. Which one is a halacha la Moshe Misinai? Which one is a pasuk? So the Gemara says, ilema ben yom echad hilchosa. If you want to say ultimately again that a boy can become a zav at 1 day old, that's the halacha la Moshe Misinai, uben tes shanu yom echad, and that a boy can become a balkeri, right? Sheikh Razer, 9 years old in 1 day, that's a pasuk. Cross stomach siv. Well, see, here's the problem. The pasuk is very nondescript. So, Ella bentes shanav yom echad hilchasa. Rather, you have to say that a boy could become a bal keri at 9 years old in one day. That's the halacha l'moshe misinai. Uben yom echad kra. And that a boy could become a ba'azav at 1 day. That's the pasuk. I dechini achad hilchasai. Kra lamali. But I will say, now that you're telling me that halacha l'maisa, that a boy could become a balkeri at 9 years old in 1 day is halacha l'moshe misinai, then why do I need even a scriptural lose? Why do I need a pasuk? Lemeute isha miloban. But I say this is incredible. To exclude the case of a woman who has a white emission. So we'll say if a woman has a white emission, there is no tumah generated by a white emission of a woman. So we'll say this is the reverse of the previous drush. Remember again, previously we used the drushes by the extra drushes by women to teach me what? That Allah is a man who has a red emission is not tameh. We don't consider it to be red shechvas zera, and even if it's blood, it's not tameh as well. Now we're saying that if a woman has a white emission, she's not tameh as well. It's not nida and it's not zava. To which the Gemara says, Lamali lemichta bischarim, v'lamali lemichta b'nikar. I'm supposed to just finish the sugya. So I'll say, so look here, Ashu, just a moment. Lamali lemichta bischarim, ish ish rabas katan ben yomo, v'lamali lemichta b'nikavas, v'ish rabas basyom echalanida, ubas vizyor. So now, watch this. So now, what we're saying is like this. So now, what I have two different drushas. I have one set of drushas that tells me, ish ish and halacha lemosh misinai, ish ish, not halacha lemosh misinai, ish ish that teach me that a boy becomes a zav as of what age? One day, right? And Isha, V'Isha teaches me that what? That a girl becomes she becomes a Nida at what age? Or she could become a Nida at what age? One day at a Zava when? At 10 days. Right? But that's really the same thing, right? It's saying from birth. So now the Gemara says, why do I need parallel drushas for boys and girls? Right, it starts with separate seating, then we need separate drushas, right? So I'll say, why do I need parallel drushas? Right? So Gemara is like this. So I'll say, see, technically speaking, well, you could have easily created a merged drusha that essentially says, any tuma migufo begins when? Begins from birth. Now the exception might be shechva zera, because that is a din in physical maturation. Leaving that aside. But in terms of Zav, Nida, right, Zava, make one drasha that indicates to me that halacha lemaisa, all of these tumas migufo begin from birth. To which one says, I'll tell you why you can't. Srihi. Because remember, then the idea would be write it by one gender, and you'll learn the unstated gender from the stated gender. I'll tell you why you can't, says the Gemara. Because the Torah would have just said it by boys. Because let's remember again, Zav, we're going to see this, by the way, we've seen this already before. Zav and Zav, I will say, are dramatically different. A man becomes a Zav. Zav Gadol, how? Three Re'ias. But remember again, Halacha L'Maisa, he could have those three Re'ias when? On the same day. A woman only becomes a Zav Gidola with three Re'ios on three separate days. So the Halachos of Zav, vis-a-vis a man and a woman, right? A zachar and a keva, dramatically different. So I might have thought, if the Torah would have just said it by a zachar, I would have said, okay, a zachar baby at one day can become a zav. Why? Because lemaisa, his laws of zivos are more intense. Because ultimately, again, by a zachar, what we say is, mitama re'ios kibiyamim, which Rabbos say, it's totally independent of how many days, the ikar is how many re'ios. A girl's different. A girl requires the days and the re'ios. So I wouldn't learn how to grow from a boy. Emolo, maybe a girl doesn't become a zava from birth. Because of Rachmana ben Nekevus, and if it would have just said by Nekevus, right, by girls, that she becomes a zava from birth, mishum tekametame ba'onis. Oh, Rabbos, this is very interesting. A girl could become a zava even through onis. We'll say onis means external stimuli. Right? If a girl has an emission as a result of something external to her, she could still become a zava. On the flip side of a zacharim, the lometame ba'onis emelo. But I will say a zachar who only becomes a zav, if it can be demonstrated that it was not the result of an external stimulus, I would have thought, lo, cannot be learned out from the keva, therefore tzicha. Rabbi say what it comes out is that halacha lemaisa, they are two separate, they are two distinct to be learned out from one another, therefore the Torah has to quote them all. So Rabbi say, let's just end off with a little bit of halacha. I hope the recording doesn't stop here. Good. So I'll say, so three halachas. Number one is halacha in Isurei Bia, Rabman Perek Dalar Halacha Aleph. Hanidahi Kishar Kalarayos. Let me skip down a little bit. The halacha is Shabbas, Mitame Benida, Afilo Biyom Leidas. So we'll say, number one, the Rabman Paskins, then indeed, a girl has the ability to become a Nida as of day number one. So we'll say, so by the way, just to close the loop. So remember again, what our Mishnah is saying is like this. We know that a girl could become a Nida as of day number one. Is that the rov? Is that the expectation? No. It's a miut. But what kind of miut? A miyat shchiach. So why are we only choshesh for benos kusim and not for Jewish girls? Because we assume that in a Jewish family, if the little girl becomes a nida, they're going to be careful to avoid having her have contact with truma. By the kusim, there's not going to be the same level of vigilance. Therefore, Chazal had to go ahead and make the gzera. That is halacha number one. Right? What is halacha number two? Right? Katar ben yom echad mitami beziva. So we'll say ultimately, again, by the same along the same lines. So if a girl becomes a nida as of can become a nida as of the first day of her birth, she can become a zava as of when? As of when? Day number 10. So she is subject to the laws of Zivos as of day number 10. Next halacha, Mishkav Moshe, Perak Aleph, halacha Dalid, the Rambam writes, Katan ben Yom Echad Metame Beziva. But I say, indeed, a one-day-old boy also has the ability to contract Tumas Zivos. And the last halacha, Avos Hatuma, Perak Halacha Beis, Ein Shechvas Zera Shal Katan Metame, At Shehe Ben Teisha Shana Yom Echad. But I say, when it comes to Shechvas Zera, and we'll discuss this, halacha Lamaisa, boy does not become Tame Al Shechvas Zera until when? 9 years old in one day, which means that if he has any types of emissions before 9 years old in one day, we attribute that to Zav. So we'll say, so again, halacha l'maisa, nida as of day one, zava as of day 10, zav for a boy as of day one, shechvas zera, 9 years old in one day. Shalach, we'll pick up at the two dots, Amir Hashem, tomorrow.